October 14th, 2016. You're looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 619 of the Will Leach Experience podcast. On Sports North, I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I spank you for spending thank you for spending part of your day with me. I do not spank you for that. Forgive my verbal slip. I'm here with Allison Footer, Allison Footer and Leach Edition podcast. We were going to do a couple division series podcasts. We had promised, though, but you've been ill. Are you feeling better?
I am. Yes. You're okay. Such an understanding person. Yeah, that was a bad, bad morning.
I understand. Yeah. I've had a few of those myself, though. Usually they're not as random as yours. I usually earned them. So
yeah, that was like really random. That came on like out of nowhere, and I rallied. I was actually able to cover the game later on. But if you have ever arrived to a ballpark to work about 20 minutes after the game starts and it's a playoff game, I don't recommend that, because let me tell you where I parked, Will.
Oh no.
Okay, so I'm at the ballpark in Arlington, which I believe is now called Globe Life Park.
Globe Life, yes.
Okay, and then the football stadium, is called Jerry World here in Houston. Which is near the baseball stadium, but it's a little bit away.
Yeah, I've been there.
I parked there. I parked at the football stadium, and it was raining. It was like one of those like annoying drizzly rains, and I had to walk. I don't know how long it was. It was hilarious. I was like, okay, note to self: when you get sick, just don't do it in the morning before a noon playoff game, and then have to like run in there with all the other people. It was quite entertaining. So yeah, good day for me.
That sounds terrible. Well, I hope that this podcast is an improvement upon that. But I can't guarantee anything, because that one didn't involve me, and this one does. So, you know, I'm a wild card. All right, we're going to do two podcasts today. We're going to do one podcast today and one podcast tomorrow. We're recording this on Thursday early evening, so we don't know who's in the NLCS. So we're going to do – this is our Cleveland-Toronto ALCS preview. It is worth noting that I only got one of the division series right in the American League. I thought this was going to be Blue Jays Red Sox, which frankly was not that unpopular of a prediction. So I don't feel so bad. But Cleveland kind of wiped out Boston. Boston was never really in that series. So now we are previewing Toronto-Cleveland. When I look at this series, Ms. Footer, I find myself feeling the exact same thing I thought going into the last series involving Cleveland, which is, how in the world does this team have enough starting pitching to possibly hang out in this series? Particularly when you look at Toronto, who, while they don't have the top, you know, Clayton Kershaw at the top of the rotation, has the best rotation in baseball this year. And it was deep, and they go four deep, and they're all four good pitchers. It seemed, and you know, Cleveland has Kluber, and then do we put in Miller in the third? Do we put in Miller in the fourth? I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that, to think Cleveland can win this series with just Kluber and then Tomlin and Bauer and whoever else is hanging around.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like logic would tell us that, right? And even though that little voice in our heads, that little teeny tiny corner of our brains that is reminding us that it's really not about the starting rotations in the playoffs, as much as we like to say that going into the playoffs, because it's the easiest thing really to sort of lean on, is that the stronger rotation is clearly going to have the advantage. And then it always comes down to the bullpens and who doesn't blow it late in the game. And then the next year we go back to feeling like it's the starting rotations again. So everything points to the Blue Jays winning the series because of that. Everything points to that. And I'm not convinced that they're going to win the series.
Yeah, it's weird, right? So to me, one of the things I thought was really interesting is, you know, last year when Kansas City had the three relievers stacked up next to one another and won the World Series, I was like, oh, well, we should do that. Well, and so the Yankees tried to do that, and that became like a thing. And I wonder if the way that Francona is using Andrew Miller, which frankly is a way that stats heads have been screaming for people to use your best pitcher in the bullpen for a long time. And we've always heard the relievers can't handle it. They're very sensitive sorts. And maybe Andrew Miller is just cut from a different mold. They broke the mold when they made Andrew Miller. But certainly what he's doing, that is one of the main reasons they won that Boston series, is he came in at the exact precise right times. To be fair, because they don't have great starting pitching after Kluber. I wonder if, like, future teams, if Cleveland keeps winning here, people are like, oh, well, maybe that's what we do. Whoever signs Aroldis Chapman next year, like, maybe that's what we do with that spot. Maybe we put him there. But as much as I feel like that's a nice advantage, Toronto has a pretty good bullpen too. Like, they don't have a bad bullpen. And to me, the major thing with Toronto, the last half of the season, their offense disappeared. And that these are all small sample sizes, of course, but it certainly seemed to reappear in that series against Texas.
If you're talking about, I mean, let's get back to the relief pitching. I actually don't think that Toronto has that good of a bullpen, and I think that they could be in trouble if Liriano can't come back, and then Osuna, if he's not completely healthy. So
it's true.
All they want about them being fine, and oh, we think we're going to get Liriano back, and Osuna is just a little bit of shoulder soreness. There's not just a little bit of shoulder soreness this time of year. So I'm not like entirely like just on board with that. Right, I mean, they raked their way into to win that series. I mean, those starting pitchers really didn't have a chance, and so I don't know. I'm not really convinced on either one. I think this is going to be like one of the closest. Evenly matched series that we have. I mean, I think that's just what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, and I'm all excited now about Toronto's offense. Like, they're just so great. But, like, you know, the whole thing was Cleveland knocked around the Boston pitchers, too. Like, they really hit the ball very well in that series. You know, I think both of those starting pitchers rotations for the Rangers and the Red Sox really got wiped out. So what do you think? Like, do you find yourself – I have to say, talking to you, you don't necessarily make a prediction yet, but certainly it seems to me you're kind of a little up on Cleveland.
I'm like totally up on Cleveland, but as I said in a different interview that I did, it's like with my heart says Cleveland, my head says Toronto. I want Cleveland to win the series very much. The only thing that I think that could work against Toronto, besides what I just said about the bullpen, is the fact that their offense is so hot and now they're like down for 4 days before the series gets started again. And so I am not a believer that the hot bats last that long. Especially like in the postseason when all you're facing is good pitching. I mean, you can't go on like a 3-week hot streak because you're not playing any of the crappy teams anymore. So just watching what they did, I mean, they were like had such momentum there. I mean, that first game of the division series wasn't even a competition. Second game was mildly interesting. And then the third game was what it was. It was like that crazy, crazy, like improbable finish that, you know, could have gone whatever way. But like when you're talking about Encarnacion and Bautista and Donaldson, I mean, you know, the amazing hitters, like they're having a really good run. They're red hot right now, but having this kind of layoff, I just think everything kind of evens out that way.
Yeah. And I find myself too. I wrote this piece for Sports and Earth ranking all the league championship series from 2010. We forget the league championship series are often really exciting. You and I both know, I feel like maybe the best series I've ever seen, or one of the best series I've ever seen, was the 2004 NLCS. Like, that was just one of the most amazing series I've ever seen. I feel, obviously, they won, so my team won, so I feel better about it. But that was just an amazing series back and forth. Sometimes these series get lost because we forget how good they are because, obviously, the World Series being the spectacle that it is. But this feels like, to me, I feel like Toronto is the better team, and Toronto is... There's a certain logic to them winning this series. To me, it's kind of silly to do the better narrative is this, but it's also silly to predict a 7-game series because who the hell knows what's going to happen. So there is a certain historic logic to see Toronto in this series. You know, this is kind of the last run for those guys. You know, and Encarnacion and Bautista, who are like two of the 20 best Blue Jay players of all time and have really been integral to really everything they've done for the last six, 7 years. They're both free agents after the year. That's probably the end of that. Probably one of them won't be back, let alone both of them. So this feels everything for all the problems that Toronto had during the season. They put it together late. Yeah. And the rotation, you saw the entire time, if they can just figure this out, that rotation and that lineup could be really good. I share your concerns with the bullpen, but you know, poor Cleveland, if they have Salazar – and they have Carrasco, and never mind Brantley. They look to me maybe the better team in this series. But now you look at that lineup, I don't see it. I feel like I kind of have to pick Toronto in this series.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like I kind of have to pick Toronto too, which is why. And right, they didn't win the ALCS last year, right? So they're kind of due, and everything is totally in their rotation, like you said, is fantastic. I mean, it's. There's no reason to pick the Indians except that why not pick the Indians?
Fair enough. Hey, listen. The number of Cleveland fans that are so excited that I've talked to tell me they're so excited about the idea of Game One at Progressive Field is literally the same night that LeBron will be raising the banner across the street at Quick and Slow's Ooh. Arena. Lots of excitement there. That seems like that might be kind of a fun night.
That's awesome.
That seems like it might be kind of a cool thing. So I see the emotional thing there, but I'm picking the Blue Jays, and I think I picked the Blue Jays in five.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm aggressive on this one.
I picked the Indians in six.
Wow, awesome. We disagree. I love when that happens. All right,
I think we actually agree, Will. I'm just
I know. Yeah, right? I understand. No, see, forget that last part. If the Indians win, give yourself an out. You know, because if they win, you'll be the one that looks as usual much smarter than me.
Right. Yes. Yes. Let's do that.
All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Probably. We'll actually maybe putting up a Saturday podcast, or at least a late Friday podcast to preview the NLCS against the Cubs, Chicago Cubs. Apparently, are the National League's entrance in the World Series. I was sure I had to look up, go through my notes. They'll be playing either Washington or Los Angeles, or AKA. As I like to note, I write a weekly fantasy football newsletter because I'm that nerd. And I'd like to note that I mentioned that in my viewpoint, we've been doing these updates throughout the season on the notion of whether Donald Trump is going to become president. And Hillary Clinton gave this interview to the New York Times where she said, she joked, "I am the only person standing between you and the apocalypse." I find myself feeling that way about Washington and Los Angeles as a Cubs fan. Like, listen, in the same way, I think a lot of people feel like Hillary, which is, listen, I like Washington and Los Angeles. Are they my first choice? Maybe not, but they are competent and they are good and they are strong, and I have faith that they will save us from the apocalypse.
So, what will happen? Like, how will this affect you? Like, if they won the World Series on a scale of 1 to 10 as on the devastation, the highest devastation being 10, are you a 10? I mean, is this, like, going to be one of the worst things that ever happens to you?
Well, I feel like we should save this for the NLCS podcast, but okay. I'll put it this way. I would think of it less as worried about my personal mental health and more about the fact that this happening will cause the Earth to careen out of control and crash into the sun.
Wow. Okay. So we'll watch the Cubs win the World Series first. So then when we all die, at least we'll have that.
Yeah. That will be like the worst possible thing to happen before it's all over, for crying out loud. Okay. So as always, we'll finish up with this. We do at the end of every podcast, we do the look to see who in fact, with the odds that 538's odds on who is going to Donald Trump will become the next president of the United States. Now, there have been times in this podcast where he was at Roger Hornsby level. He is not there right now. He currently, according to 538's polls plus forecasts, Donald Trump.
Polls plus. Oh, okay.
Yeah, polls plus. This is the one that
Nowcast. I do the Nowcast.
See, the Nowcast, Nate Silver himself says the Nowcast is misleading. He says it's misleading. He calls it the horse race poll. He does not consider it the actual poll. The polls plus is the one that counts the polls and also counts whether or not traditional factors, like whether this is a Democratic year or a Republican year, if it's in the economy, so on. So according to polls plus, Donald Trump has a 17.9% chance of winning the presidency. That is 179. According to current batting averages in Major League Baseball, that is the odds of Michael Wacha getting a base hit in a random at bat, which is to say, not good.
So, I tell you once again, I need it to be the odds of Stubby Clapp getting a base hit today.
It needs to be the odds of a dog getting a base hit. All right. This is the Really Experience Podcast, Footer and Leech Edition, ALCS Preview. We'll be back probably tomorrow or later on tonight with our NLCS Preview. Thanks, Allison.